It's Monday, February 20th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, show number 743, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a one-year fourth-generation hosting account by using the promo code CES2. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Here we got a great show lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go-fly.
Microphone.
We're go-fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go-fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all our great content. And of course, if I had the little menu loaded here, you'd be able to see that wonderful page. So definitely head over to Geek News Central. Check out all the great content. Our bloggers are doing a fantastic job of putting new content up on the website every day. And of course, we want you to get subscribed to the show. You'll find a way to do that there on the main page. Of course, sign up for our newsletter as well. Of course, I give a warm welcome to the Johanna, all the longtime listeners of the show as well from around the world. Welcome to the show. We definitely want to thank you for being here and being part of the family, of course. And, of course, you can watch the show post-show on the Tech Podcast channel on both the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, and Google TV, and of course, along with the right on your web browser, coming over to the website itself. Or if you want, while you're on the go, via your portable device. And that's what subscribing is all about. Hey, if you want to reach out to me, all you got to do is reach me on Twitter at Geek News. It's real simple. Just follow me on Twitter. Of course, you can email the show at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 and call in your comments. We've got actually had a couple of calls into the hotline over the last couple of days, so look forward to bringing those comments to you a little later in the show. I'm going to take care of just a quick second, though, and I want to thank one of our sponsors for being part of the show, sponsor GoDaddy.com. I tell you, we got a great offer for you on their web hosting solution. And this is a long-term good deal that all of you are going to take advantage of if you want to. So they've got a special offer here where you can save a 25% on their, even when the product's on sale or when it's normally priced. Anytime you pick up a plan 12 months or longer, in other words, their fourth generation web hosting account, it's really cloud computing without the hassle of having to set up a bunch of instances and knowing a whole bunch of, you know, weird code. I actually worked with Jeffrey Powers this past weekend. We did a tech podcast roundtable where we actually step people through on how easy it is to buy their own .com, get a web hosting account, set up WordPress, install a PowerPress plugin, to become really a media creator like I am, and really without a big investment, very, very small investment. And one of the products that we demonstrated was the fourth generation hosting and all the cool stuff. They got a full line of features. I think one of the things I like the best about this is, and it's really kind of down and deep in their feature listings, is that they have the ability that every day they scan your site for malware. And with all the stuff that's going on today with hackers trying to hack into sites and really place really nasty stuff there, this is a great way to stay safe and make sure you don't have any malware issues on your blog or on your website, whatever you may be doing, trying to sell stuff or, you know, whatever the purpose of the website may be. But I've got some great deals for you at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We got some February stuff for you, where you're going to be able to get a .co domain. And this, I'm telling you, if you've been thinking about picking up some .co domains, this is the month to do it, because after this, they go way up and they're really expensive. So CoFeb3, C-O-F-E-B-3, is going to allow you to get a $7.99 .co. if you want to combine that with some .coms at the same time, that same code works as well. We also have another hosting plan where you are allowed to get deluxe hosting for the price of economy, and that's HostFeb3, H-O-S-T-F-E-B-3. Again, all these codes, again, are over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, along with my everyday offers that are non-expiring, Geek 5, Todd 20, Todd, and so forth. So definitely check those out over at GoDaddy.com. Well, I tell you, got a lot going on here I told you guys that last weekend that my wife and I were thinking about doing a little staycation, and after we got looking at the schedule, things were just going to be completely off the chart this weekend. It turned out it was. Matter of fact, I'm a little punchy tonight. Been up since, what time is it now? It's a little after 8 Honolulu Standard Time. So I've been up well over at this point, I think 17 hours or something ridiculous like that. My daughter ran in the Great Aloha Run here this morning, an 8.1, 8.2 mile. It's kind of a fun run. She's done it for a couple of years. Take her down to Aloha Stadium at 4:30 in the morning. So that means getting up at 3:30 here, having everybody loaded up to go in the car at 4. Then we went and got breakfast, and then the race started at 7, and then back to Aloha Stadium. Basically, they started at Aloha Tower and ends at Aloha Stadium. And she ran and came in. She had a pretty good time. She improved her time by about 16 or 17 minutes over last year. So we're pretty excited about that. That'll mean her number will continue to become higher. She's in a 3-digit number now. So the faster you are, from a preceding year, you get a lowered number, So a little thing that they wear, I guess. So she was pretty excited about that. And then, so I think by the time we got done there, it was 9 or 9:30 in the morning. And then my wife and I have been shopping around for a certain product here for the house. And we spent about 2 hours in Sears this morning. They had a great, fantastic sale on mattresses. Boring stuff, right? So we finally got one of those purchased, and they're going to have that delivered on Saturday. And so that's just one of the stupid things we had to get done this weekend. But lots of stuff going on with dad duties and everything else. But lots of stuff going on here on the Saturday before on the tech side. Had a Saturday morning tech show that all of you are going to really want to take time and watch. I had two local tech folks on, Derek Gabriel, who I had for the first time met him basically when he came on the show, and a longtime friend of mine here in Honolulu. His name is Peter Kay. He's been in the startup space for a number of years, flipped a couple of companies. He's one of the leaders of the local Angel VC board. So he's really heavy in the tech side, and we've been disturbed about what's been going, or the whole community, the whole tech community has been concerned about all the stuff that's been brought up in the legislature here. And we've talked about that on this show already, about some of the bills that were introduced that basically end up getting shelved, thank goodness. But they, Peter and a number of other folks, started what's called the Hawaii Innovation Alliance. And so far we've got about 550 people here in Hawaii that have signed up to be members of the Hawaii Innovation Alliance. We're basically going to be staying abreast of what's going on in the ledge. We're going to make sure that as bills get introduced and stuff that affects the tech community, that we're going to stay on top of it. But it goes much deeper than that on the organization's ultimate goals. And so I had Peter on, and he was talking about a lot of the stuff that is happening here and nationally. And he decided to go ahead and try to move the Hawaii Innovation Alliance beyond the local scene, and he actually, on Facebook, we launched a page called the National Innovation Alliance. So it's basically what we're trying to do is bring tech people together to try to make them understand that, you know, tech has been a mainstay of our economy. It has been largely unregulated. We haven't had to deal with, you know, all the types of rules that many other companies have to deal with, from a the banking industry, the car industry, and all these industries have these heavy, heavy government regulation. And it really, you know, that in itself has its own issues, and some are good, some are bad. And, you know, I think we all could talk a long time about different rules for different organizations. But I think as far as the internet goes, you know, really when I started Geek News Central, and started to make money and set the site up, I think it cost me well under $50 to get it set up as a business and get a tax license and all the stuff I have to do in Hawaii. And it's really been painless except for what I have to deal with on paying the state here, workman's comp. Yes, I pay workman's comp to sit in this chair. And unemployment taxes and everything else that goes into running a business is kind of funny. If I follow this chair and I get hurt, I can claim workman's comp. But so anyway, I talked about some of that and then talked about, you know, what's being tried, you know, and then in what's basically trying to be put upon the tech community. And I think it was important. Peter is really alarmist, and he's thinking that at some point we're going to, it's, you know, it's, and I think maybe he's to a certain extent right, where it's death by a thousand cuts. You know, they're going to whack a mole at us just a little bit at a time. And we've talked about that a lot on this show. And I think you are an Akamai, a very aware audience, and know what's going on. And we're going to keep you aware. But I think it's time for us to, you know, since the SOPA and PIPA thing have kind of been put on back burner initially, maybe it's a good time for all of us to say, do we go back and kind of rest on our laurels, or do we stay proactive and try to build a bigger national thing where we can actually, you know, put our mouths and our money behind something that is going to help us in the long run. So we'll see how this progresses. And I know one thing, I'm going to be very active here in Hawaii with a local group. I'll be going this coming Saturday to an unconference where we're going to be talking about a lot of this stuff. So we'll have to see whether or not there's going to be a Saturday morning tech show next week. But I think it's important from my perspective to kind of stay abreast and get more involved and really kind of, you know, walk the walk that I've been telling all you guys to do when it comes to this type of issues that are coming up in the tech space. So watch the Saturday morning tech show that I recorded this past Saturday, or listen to it. It's an hour and 20 minutes of gold. Some of the stuff in there you may agree with, you may disagree with, you may think it's too extreme, you may think we haven't done enough. So definitely take a listen, and I think you'll come away with some, at least some thoughts in your mind, and you'll be able to hear some, you know, here we've got a guy that's here in Hawaii that is, again, you know, very successful serial entrepreneur, and, you know, in his right mind, very well set in the tech space. You know, again, he's the head of the local Angel VC board, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, from a guy like that, you know, telling me we need to watch out what's going on from a tech community, I think it's important. So anyway, that's it. And I'll let you guys listen to Saturday's show, and we'll probably be talking about this more on this show here. Going to be doing some studio work. I need to have an electrician come in and put in some more drops. And we're going to make some changes around here a little bit. So that's going to be going on probably over the next month. I'm going to try not to let it disrupt the show flow at all. But definitely going to have some guys in here punching some holes in some walls and just trying to, I guess for better words, tidy everything up here in the studio, because we've got a lot of stuff that's run weird, and I'd like to get rid of some wires by doing some drops and, you know, running some plugins and just make it look cleaner. So that's what we're going to be doing here over the next month with some studio work. I guess that's it. Before we get into the full-blown news content tonight, I do have one more message here for you to keep to pay some bills. And you guys know that I believe in having essentially an box of tools to use when I'm on the road, when I'm here at home, wherever I may be. I want to be able to really be as effective as a business person, you know, whether it's set in front of my computer or not. And more business people are working remotely, and they're sometimes only on their iPad or their iPhone. They've left their laptop behind and they're working lighter, you know, really. And I was actually looking at some laptops this weekend that were a lot lighter and smaller. You know, but the iPad and iPhone really can't replace your office computer. That is, unless you have Go to My PC app on that, on those devices. It's really the missing link. It turns your iPad and iPhone into your computer, just like you're sitting at your desk. So with Go to My PC by Citrix, you can access the entire, or you can access your Mac or your PC, work on any program, save, edit, send any file from anywhere, GoToMyPC is convenient, reliable, and easy to use, and sets up really in just minutes. While on go, you can even take care of an urgent request, or edit a PowerPoint, update a spreadsheet, print out any document, you name it, or work on any files right from your mobile device. And that's great. So as a listener of this show, you can try GoToMyPC for free. And this is the best deal here that's going on, okay? And it's really simple to get a free trial. All you got to do is go to mypc.com, click on the try it free button. And really, when you get over to go to MyPC, it's easy. There's a little orange button on the website. You click on try it free. It's going to load a page. You're going to put your name, your email address, and a promo code podcast in there. Again, use the promo code podcast. Get that free 30-day trial. And then download the app and use the iPhone and the iPad app and the Android app as well, because the Android app is available too. That's go to mypc.com, try it free, and use the promo code podcast. I want to thank Citrix, go to mypc for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay, let's go ahead and move into the regular tech content tonight. And did you guys notice a little bit different show intro today? And just a little bit different one. And I'm really trying to make minor tweaks to the show and get into tech content a lot sooner and keep my beginning of show comments more related to the tech space. But, you know, many of you that are part of the Ohana here are, you know, you've told me again and again, don't change the show format. But I think after 700 and almost 750 shows, it's time to do a few tweaks and see how it helps with the numbers. And, you know, we're fast approaching show 750. That's pretty crazy, you know, if you really think about where we're at. And I'm looking at the, you know, so that means we're on this show, we are 743. So this is show 743. We're seven away. So sometime next month, we are going to roll over into the, basically hit 750. I think that's a nice milestone. And I think what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be putting some teasers. I'm going to be putting some teasers into the video. I'm going to be putting some teasers into the show notes. I'm going to be putting some teasers into different locations that you guys come to on Geek News Central. We're going to have a cool prize to give away for show 750. But you're going to be required to read the show notes. Definitely make sure you're checking the links. Definitely watching the video from time to time. Have your smartphone ready when you're watching the video, because who knows, there might be a QR code that comes up and flashes or something like that. And we're going to have some fun stuff to do to get you qualified to win a cool prize on show 750. And we're going to look forward to give you a mix of stuff, and it'll be a lot of fun. So nothing on this show. We're just going to keep you aware and definitely listen through the entire show, because you never know when that call to action is going to happen. Okay, let's talk about Moore's Law. You know, we can do no more. A transistor from a single atom. This is amazing. There is a image over at Ars Technica talking about the electron micrograph of a single atom transistor. And this is just remarkable. If you really think about where we're at with this, if you were to tell someone 20 years ago that they were able to make a transistor from a single atom, I think they would have been probably raise their eyebrows at you. But the bump at the center of an image here is where a single phosphorus atom was introduced to a silicon lattice, and the rectangular item in the corners are the leads of the transistor, also fabricated of silicone. Now, this is remarkable. Now, whether or not this is going to be able to be done in high numbers, where they're going to be able to do doping and be able to do manufacturing on this is yet to be seen. But this is quite an accomplishment if you really think about it. But a single atom is the size of this current transistor, and they're going to have to do future experiments, and they're going to have to see how well this works out, but pretty remarkable stuff. And just to think, you think about where transistors have come from and where we're at now, it's amazing. It really, really is. So I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. Also on the PVR blog, I found a very cool new device. If you are a TV junkie, or if you're creating content that needs you to record a bunch of TV content, there's a new project out of the UK called Promise.tv. And the Promise TV has the ability to record all free British TV streams, including TV and radio, about 60 channels total, in a one-week buffer, allowing you to watch anything broadcast in the past 7 days. This allows you to record everything. And this is all done in a single small box. So I was looking at the pricing on this. I thought, what is this going to cost? And not bad. For those of you in the UK, well, maybe you'll say it's it's not that cheap either. But if you look at it, the Promise 7 is £999. And that is a launch promotion that is being put together by Boing Boing for the readers in the UK. But if you're looking for a digital video recorder that records essentially everything that is Freeview available on television there in the UK, this is the thing to check out. Promise.tv is the website, and we'll see if they have a model that they're going to bring to America, because that's just an amazing number of programs that's going to be able to record. I think you have 7 or 8 free channels in the UK, and someone that lives over there can correct me if I'm wrong, but no, it's 60 total channels, about 60 channels total in a 1 week buffer. And I don't understand how this does it, but that means it has 60 recording heads. That's pretty remarkable. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, if you have a TiVo, and you've been a Blockbuster doing the on-demand, well, Blockbuster is pulling the on-demand feature called OneBox out of the TiVo. So you're no longer going to be able to stream video on-demand from Blockbuster with your TiVo. Don't know exactly what's going on with that, but there is a updated Netflix and YouTube app that's available. And but it's amazing here that Blockbuster is going to depart from this, and we'll see if Amazon does an update to their TiVo channel, which it hasn't seen an update in a long time. But don't fear. You can always pick up a Roku for $99 and use that instead of your TiVo. But bad news here for those of you getting the Blockbuster app on TiVo. It's going to be put to rest on March 31st of this year. All right, of course, we're still putting up content from CES. Can you believe that? It's just crazy. I was actually looking, and I think there's 43 articles left, and there's some gems here left. As a matter of fact, the guys were talking a little bit in the, we have a little private mailing list that we do with Geek News, the writers, and they're like, hey, everyone's saying, we took all the great stuff and put that up in the beginning. Now what's left is kind of like the stuff nobody wanted, and it's kind of true. The guys went through and cherry-picked the articles they wanted, but, there's still a huge amount of good stuff, and I put one up today. It's basically for folks that want to connect a non-connected car. It's called Mavio, and, everyone's dreaming of a high-tech vehicle, but, there's a lot of vehicles out there, 1996 or newer, that have a diagnostic port, which will allow you to basically load some apps and that tie it to your car. It can diagnose and warn you of car problems. It can connect you with services like Facebook and Foursquare. And it can alert you when you're in an area of one of your friends. It can also set up to know when you're near a location that sells something on your shopping list. And it can even notify you when teen drivers leave a certain range or just where they are, period. Now, we've talked to the folks at Mavion. It's Mavizon is the name of the company. I guess that Mavizon, or however you pronounce that. But the Mavia plugin that they've had has been around for a while. And it used to be tied into just being able to, an app that would, you'd be able to plug this in and track your kids, make sure they weren't going too fast and weren't breaking, you know, all doing all the stupid things teenagers typically will do. But right now, there's no monthly fee for this. Now, this is in comparison to their prior product where it was. And the reason they can make it free is that it's subsidized by advertising. And this is currently in beta, and there's no price point yet, but they're saying soon. And I'm pretty excited. I want to get my hands on one of these and give it a try on my wife's minivan, which is definitely not a smart vehicle at all, and see how well it works. But anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. This is another great product and thing that you'll be able to see. If you've ever thought about getting sculpted earphones too, there's and this company's been around for a couple of years now, but the folks at Ears, Sculpted Ears, have basically, this is a box you can buy off the shelf. You can fit it on your, put it on your head. You put it in, and then there's a little process. It takes about 5 minutes, and you get basically a perfect form-fitted earpiece, basically a headset, earphones. And, you know, it's for those of you that have ever shopped for fitted earphones, this could take about a month, several thousand dollars. And the Sculpted Ears cost about $199. There's a double driver model where there's basically two audio drivers in it for $299. And they got a store that's available online you can check out. But if you want custom fit earphones, this is a great product. It really is. And, you know, right now I'm using, for those of you that are watching, I'm actually using an in-ear earphone from Shure, which are not fitted, and I have had a huge challenge finding in-ear earphones that would work for me, and these just luckily have worked out really well. But I'm at the point where I'm about ready to do for an upgrade, because I got one hinge on one of these that is a little tweaky. It's every once in a while it starts rattling, or it just completely drops off. So I'm definitely going to be checking out the Sculpted Ears, and maybe go with their solution the next time around to save some money. And the demos on here shows you how easy you can watch in this like 10-minute video how they got their own custom ears set up. So anyway, I have that link up in the show notes. A couple of great other interviews we did, and you can check out all the latest stuff, that, of course, at Geek News Central. All right, the iPhone 4 antenna lawsuit has been settled. Big deal, right? You get a free bumper. In other words, you get a free little case from Apple, or you get $15. I thought they already settled this, but I guess there was a number of class action lawsuits that were filed back in 2010 when AntennaGate showed up. So anyway, I guess this class action's been settled. And if you suffered from reduced reception, you can again get an iPhone bumper case or $15. And this is identical to the free case that Apple offered before in 2010. So I guess the lawyers, you know, only people who have made money on this was the lawyers. All right, Pirate Bay has been ruled to infringe copyright. No, don't say it. And could be blocked in the UK in coming weeks. So a high court judge ruled that the torrent site and its users are committing copyright infringement. The case was brought before the court by a coalition of major record labels, including Sony, EMI, Universal. We'll talk about Universal and their own infringement here in a little bit. But they're trying to get the internet service providers to basically block the sites so that the folks in the UK cannot get access to them. I'm sure that's going to be real effective. Don't you think so? All right, Google's tricked Internet Explorer into accepting tracking cookies, Microsoft is claiming. Of course, now there was big news on this last on the last show, where basically Google admitted that there was an issue where they were bypassing default privacy settings in Safari in order to serve up tracking cookies. Now, in a blog post titled "Google Bypassing User Privacy Settings," Microsoft's Internet Explorer Corporate Vice President Dean Hachimovich states that when the IE team heard that Google had bypassed the user privacy settings on Safari, They asked in a simple question, is Google circumventing the privacy preferences of Internet Explorer? And basically, the answer is yes. Now, here's the kicker. Before we kick Google too hard in the jaw, let's check this out. Apparently, Internet Explorer has been using this privacy policy using something called P3P for a long time. And it turns out that Facebook and many other sites are using an almost identical scheme to override Internet Explorer privacy settings, according to a privacy research at the Lori Faith Craner at Carnegie Mellon University. They discovered that they can lie in there, but basically they've discovered that essentially this is easily spoofed and nobody bothers doing anything about it. Google has also said that Microsoft's reliance on P3P forces outdated practices onto modern websites. And according to an additional study, basically said were that 33,000 sites found about a third of them were circumventing P3P in Internet Explorer. So in other words, it's common practice that people are just completely ignoring the privacy settings that you have set in your browser. So Google's basically, without trying to get their hands too dirty, said that Internet Explorer needs to be updated. Well, at the same time, I think Google's really barked up a wrong tree here, and we'll see what happens with this. But with this protocol known as P3P dating back from 2002, it appears that Microsoft wasn't themselves completely hands clean, in that several of their sites were also basically violating their very own privacy policy. And many have said it's impractical to comply with Microsoft requests while providing modern web functionality. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. So a lot of finger pointing going on. Google obviously in the middle of the crosshairs here at this point. They don't care about our privacy. They don't care what they're doing. They want the information. They're going to get it at any cost. We've said this for a long time. If you think you have any privacy on the internet, you're sadly mistaken. As much as you want to have it, they know you better than you know yourself. Let's just be straight up on that. It's just the way it is these days. Is it right? No. But with groups that we're forming, like the National Innovation Alliance, which you can find on Facebook, if I didn't mention that earlier, I think we can start to, over time, make sure that internally we protect ourselves and at the same time, advocate for consumers. So we'll see how this goes. Anyway, I'll have a link up in the show notes on this. It's being announced that the future versions of Chrome may choose your passwords and change them when you've been hacked. Now, this is interesting. The Chrome development team is working on a system that automatically generates passwords, which would help users secure their online identities with passwords that would be diversified across different sites. Now, that's the biggest mistake a lot of folks do, is they use the same password or a variation of the same password from site to site. And they say that these passwords will be randomized and harder to guess. It was detailed in developer documentation that the system would detect account signup pages and add a small UI element to help you with the password field, giving the user the option of letting Chrome manage the password for them. Now, I think that as long as you're using Chrome, that's good. Chrome will synchronize between multiple Chrome browsers, and you can keep your passwords up to date. But if you're using Firefox or you use IE from time to time and you go to a website, you may not get in because you can't remember your password. But there's a great, I really like LastPass. And if you guys haven't checked it out, LastPass.com seems to be a pretty good solution right now. It's one that I'm using and I really like it. But it's a great way to, if you're using multiple browsers, to be able to stay and keep your passwords kind of squared and secure. So, but the question that I think we all should ask is, how much do we trust Google? And probably about as much as I trust any other company out there, including companies holding, stuff for me as well. But, I think everyone's invading people's privacy, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this, but, you know, just makes our browsers and our computers bigger targets for sure. Well, over the last couple of days, or I guess last week, of course, Congress decided to extend the payroll tax break and also extend unemployment insurance to millions of folks that are out of work. But the bill that went with that goes a lot further, and it had some riders in it. And what it tries to do is it attempts to a resolution of two of the Federal Communication Commission's stickiest wickets, in that the transfer of spectrum from television broadcasters to the wireless industry, and also a public safety broadband system. So the House version of the law authorizes the FCC to allocate so-called D-block of the 700 megahertz band, 758 to 763 megahertz and 788 to 793, to use as a responder network for police, fire, and medical units. And the legislation gives the commission 9 years to relocate first responder communication systems from their current location at 470 to 512 to the D block broadband zone. The money for this process will eventually come from auctions of spectrum used by TV broadcasters and television bands to mobile ISPs. So they want to free up a bunch of space, and this is part of their way to do it. And of course, the national broadcasters are not happy with this because they've just spent a bunch of money going from analog to digital. But there's only so much bandwidth, and mobile is a crazy hungry animal, and we're essentially out of spectrum. So they got to move some people around, whether we like it or not. And in the meantime, the government's going to probably earn billions of dollars for selling that spectrum. Yes, selling the spectrum. All right, YouTube has added a Google Plus integration to channels. So updates, fees, and annotation editors. Basically, Google's ongoing march to really integrate everything into Google Plus has reached YouTube. A channel owner like myself can now promote their Google Plus profile on their page, along with profiles of other social networks such as Facebook and Twitter. So this is cool. YouTube has also updated the channel feed, where you can now share videos and playlists by other users. They've tweaked the homepage and added some options to the annotation editor. And this is really the first significant update since the big facelift happened back in December. So if you've got a YouTube channel, you'll definitely want to check that out. Hey, if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. All right, ladies, how many of you are using Pinterest out there? You know, I signed up for it the other day. I guess I don't fully get it. I guess it's an understanding why the ladies are crazy about this site, and it's really been a, you know, one of those sites that's not the techies have been driving it, but the ladies have. But they're on the grow in a big, big way. So definitely check Pinterest out if you haven't already, ladies and fellas. Go over there and look at it too. It's just a lot of pictures and links to stuff and products and services. And, you know, I don't know. To me, it's pretty, but I don't know if I'm going to get much use out of it. Different strokes for different folks, but I know a lot of you love the site. All right, Apple partner Foxconn has a ton of issues. Labor group says, there's an article over at businessweek.com. The initial reports coming out of the labor group were saying, oh, it didn't look so bad, but the following reports said they've got some issues. Apparently, Foxconn is cooperating fully with their audit, and they're going to review and act on findings and recommendations. Basically, they're talking to a lot of people, and here's the challenge. You know, China is China. And they are notorious for labor violations and, you know, basically working people massive number of hours and paying them slave wages. It's really, you know, what you would expect out of a third world country. And I'm not calling China completely third world, but they treat everyone third world for sure. But this 30-person inspection team is interviewing 35,000 Foxconn employees via meetings with small groups and randomly picked workers. You know, can you imagine how scared you would be if you were a worker and, you know, this inspection team comes in? You know, and China is one of these places where you just, you don't know who's listening or who's going to share information on what you've said. Are they really going to get people to speak openly about serious issues? Are they going to be able to, you know, when I was in the Navy, we used to have this this thing that would happen periodically. So they would have what was called a captain's call. So they would bring in basically the skipper and the command master chief would come in, and you would have the first group would be like the E1 to E4s or E1 to E3, the very junior listed. Then they would start off with the very like junior petty officers, E45. Then they would have the first classes, the E6s, and then they would have the chiefs, and then he would have meetings with the officers. Now, these meetings, these captain's calls, were your place where you could basically stand up and you could say, "Skipper, I don't like this, or can you check into that?" And it was basically this huge open forum. And we'd always cringe because there'd always be one guy that would bring up something that would be stupid, and then you would get a call by the mass chief, and you say, "Hey, you got a guy that's got a problem in your office. How come you didn't know about this? Fix this." So really, it was one of those things that was, you know, you could end up seeing the man because there was someone in your office that was complaining about something. But it was basically his way to find out info about what was going on in the squadron. But many times people wouldn't say nothing. They'd be too scared, you know, because it's essentially like talking to the boss and telling the boss what's really wrong and being a little bit worried about saying something. And I kind of had to laugh when I read this article on Business Week because it really kind of relates to that. You know, do people really speak openly about very serious issues? And sometimes they do. And sometimes, you know, I knew we'd be in something in a meeting and someone would say something and they would get like 10 sideways looks like, "Shut up. What are you saying? Don't say this in this meeting." You know, it would be one of those types of things. And you just wonder in these group settings if these folks are going to be willing to say anything because, you know, what if someone, you know, says, "I heard Tim Liu talking, telling the inspectors about something that, you know, it would be a tough, cause you know, they've warned the employees, you say anything wrong about this, we find out it's wrong, we're going to, you know, you can almost imagine the conversation that they're having with their employees before this inspection took place. Now, maybe because they're under such, the microscope is so focused on them, maybe that's not the case, but you know, I don't know. You know, basically the boss says, you know, tell their supervisors, you need to go down and you need to tell the troops, keep their mouth shut. And if any of them says anything, there is going to be repercussions. So, you know, that's the first layer. You got the CEO and he goes down to his next underlings. Okay, you need to, this is the deal. The boss is serious. Everybody better keep their mouth shut. Not, you know, and it goes, and it gets worse as it gets deeper. And it finally gets to the end guy, the guy that's on the line, they have a meeting with them. And I'm sure there's something like, if you say anything, you're going to be fired. You know, that's what's probably coming down to the workers. And these people are impoverished. They're sending money home. They're living in basically slave camps. You know, I would just imagine that they're going to have a hard time getting info. It'd be curious to see if they make the report public or not. But how many of you think that really any of these Foxconn employees are really going to say what they want to say about what's going on over there? I would just be very surprised if they did. All right, Google is pointing to Iowa for setting up satellite antenna farms. So this is interesting. If you are in around Council Bluffs, Iowa, Google's Fiber is looking to erect a satellite antenna farm on a 1,000-acre tract out there. So tech jobs in Iowa are definitely going to be on the increase. And this is part of Google's nationwide Google Fiber project. So interesting to see where they go with this. All right, you know, every once in a while you just read something and you have to smile. Not because you're glad someone got hurt, but just how stupid some people really are. Okay, so imagine this. You're out and you're a thief and you're going to steal some copper and you want to steal some stuff at a power plant, okay? Apparently, in the UK, in Leicester, in the UK, two copper thieves last year went to an electricity substation in order to steal copper cable from the substation's transformer, okay? Now, you know what a transformer does, right? Either steps power up or steps power down. And, you know, you're dealing with some serious voltage there. They usually have a certain type of oil in them to help with the heat, you know, basically keeping them from getting too hot. There's all kinds of different things that go into a transformer making it work. But anyway, apparently this one of these crooks decided that he needed to drain the oil out of the transformer. And then his buddy decided that he had to relieve himself, and he urinated on the transformer. There was a mighty explosion, and about 2,000 homes went without power. And the original perpetrator got 4 years in prison for his part. The guy that got burned severely, I mean severely, and you can imagine where he got burned, he only got a year in jail. Largely because his buddy left them there when he was laying in agony on the ground. Oh, they'd steal copper here in Hawaii. It's you know, basically you're driving down the road and all the street lights are out and you're like, well, they tore this section out last. It's gotten so bad that some places are not even replacing it. But peeing on a transformer. Oh my goodness. Very, very funny. All right, it's been 50 years, folks. 50 years since John Glenn became the first American to orbit in space. John Glenn is now 90, and he's got a great write-up on CNET talking about the mission and a subsequent shuttle flight that he went on and the current state of NASA. So I have that link up in the show notes. But, you know, these guys were pretty brave back in the day. They, you know, those rockets didn't have a good launch history. And I think, you know, he had about a 50% chance whether or not the thing was going to blow up on the way to orbit. But John Glenn shares with the writer here at CNET his it's been 50 years. My goodness. Amazing. All right, Windows Home Server 2011, there's an update. Microsoft released the Windows Home Server 2011 Rollup 2 update. It's a maintenance update to fix a variety of issues the server program has, such as bugs that have been reported by Microsoft users. So good news on that. So if you've got Windows Home Server 2011, you got an update for that. State of Nevada has embraced the future of self-driving cars. This is fantastic. This is really cool. You know, Google's been playing around here for a while with self-driving vehicles. And, you know, that's a great state if you're passing through it to be able to sleep through. So we'll see how long it takes for us to have self-driving vehicles. Isn't the future exciting? Of course, you know, that's part of it. You know, here in Hawaii, I can get up in the morning, get in my car, and drive all day and end up my driveway because really there is not much of a road trip here. But I was mentioning to my wife, the vehicle that I've had since 2009 and basically 2 years and because I bought it in late 2009, 2 years, maybe 4 or 5 months, already has 40,000 miles on it. And I'm like, how did we put 40,000 miles on this vehicle here in Hawaii? And I guess it just shows we're on the go a lot. But some of you don't put that much, many miles on your vehicle in two plus years. It kind of makes me cringe because, you know, you always like that when those vehicles are lower mileage because you know that they're under warranty and everything else. Hey, in the past, we've talked about automated writers. Yes, computers that will write articles. Well, Chicago-based Narrative Science is a company that does that. The company's software takes a set of data, sports or financial results, and it turns it into actual news stories. And they're saying that the results aren't obviously Pulitzer Prize-winning material, but it's enough for filler content, which is, for many sites, very, very important. So what they did is they want to have a deeper level of content. And they want to collect data on information that's coming from the different presidential candidates and so forth. So they did a automated write-up. It's one of the first attempts specifically talking about Newt Gingrich. And this is over on extremetech.com. Here's the write-up that they did, at least the first paragraph. So I'm going to just tell you what this automated writing program did. Here's the title. Newt Gingrich gains attention with hot button topics, taxes, character issues. And here's the substance of the first paragraph that, again, a computer wrote, not a human. Newt Gingrich received the largest increase in tweets about him today. Twitter activity associated with the candidate has shot up since yesterday, with most users tweeting about taxes and character issues. Newt Gingrich has been consistently popular on Twitter, as he has been the top riser on the site for the last 4 days. Conversely, the number of tweets about Ron Paul has dropped in the past 24 hours. Another traffic loser was Rick Santorum, who has also seen tweets about him fall off a bit. Now, here's this whole, and if you want to click to this, you can read the full story. But if you think about that, that's not bad for a computer writing the article. And it was using data that was pulling, data sets it was pulling from Twitter and different places. And they just put some information in and it created this. This is pretty amazing stuff. So anyway, I have this link up in the show notes. You can go over to narrativescience.com if you want to check their software out. But yep, next thing you know, robots are just going to be writing the news for us. And, you know, that'll be another reason to lay off journalists. You don't need to. We got the robot that's going to write all about world domination by the robots. Something very cool out of Russia. Russians have regenerated a flowering plant from 30,000-year-old frozen burrow of ice age from a frozen burrow of an ice age squirrel. So let me make sure I say that correctly. So essentially, what they've done is, and let me show you the plant. They've actually got a picture of it here. They went into Siberia and the into the permafrost area, and this was very deep. This was not found on the surface. This 30,000-year-old squirrel burrow was located 125 feet below the present surface, in layers containing bones of large mammals such as the mammoth, woolly rhinoceros, the bison, horse, and deer. They said that basically what had happened was that this was all encased in ice and never had no water penetration. And they said the sediments were firmly cemented together and often totally filled with ice, making any water infiltration impossible, creating a natural freezing chamber fully isolated from the surface. Said that the squirrels had originally dug the frozen ground to build their burrows, which are about the size of a soccer ball, putting in hay first, then the animal fur for a perfect storage chamber. So he says it was a natural cryobank. So this thing is, this plant's alive, and they know what type of plant it is, and it doesn't look that much different from one that's currently growing in the Siberian, during the Siberian summer. But it is currently the oldest plant ever to be regenerated, and it's fertile, producing white flowers and viable seeds. So the next thing they're going to be doing is just like they have portrayed in movies from time to time, we're probably going to have a woolly mammoth on our hands at some point. Of course, it's quite a stretch to go from plants to animals, but maybe not that far. All right, folks are obviously very worried about the rising, increasing cost of gasoline. Matter of fact, I filled up today. $4.27 was the gas price I paid here for mid-range fuel. And does it scare you? Last time it went up, we had to take drastic measures because it was, you know, it got nuts. It starts really cutting into one's budget. Are you guys scared about the increase in gas prices? They say they're going to continue to rise. We could hit $5 again, so time will tell. Oh, and if you want your appetite to be really ramped up here, they're growing hamburger in a test tube. Yes, you heard me correctly. Test tube hamburgers to be served this year. The world's first test tube hamburger will be served up this October after scientists perfect the art of growing beef in the lab. And they're using stem cells. And they're culturing artificial meat in the lab. It's a very, very expensive at this point, $220,000 to grow this artificial meat. But they say that they, after producing the first patty, they will be able to scale up the process to recreate affordable artificial meat products. Said mass producing beef, pork, chicken, and lamb in the lab could satisfy the global demand for meat, forecast to double within the next 40 years and dramatically reduce the harm that farming does to the environment. You know, you know, animals have lived on this planet for, well, you know, do you really think farming is, they have no idea what they're talking about. This is insane. Absolutely insane. The harm that farming does to the environment. Give me a break. As a country boy, you got to remember I grew up in the country. Farming often, and if farmers that are farming correctly, often the land is in better shape after they get done farming each year than it was before they started. You just don't take and take and take and take out of the land. You have to continue to put nutrients back in. A lot of stuff, again, on the RIAA. I don't think I'm going to spend any time on this except to say that they are insisting that the music industry is collapsing. And several studies, which I'm going to have linked up, shows that the RIAA is the one collapsing, but the music industry is still growing. And there's a couple of articles linked by Tech Dirt. And, of course, I told you earlier that Universal Music had an album recalled for infringing content. Apparently, it had some audio tracks from Martin Luther King's speech. And apparently, no one bothered to clear it with the Martin Luther King I don't know if it's a trust or whatever, but they basically said, hey, you didn't pay us. You didn't ask for permission. The track entitled Careless World has been pulled. And so they've been charged with infringing copyright infringement. So it happens to everybody. The NASA CIO, he says, you know you're a geek if you see the world in 4K pages. You have an iPhone, a BlackBerry, an iPad, a laptop, a PC, and a Mac. I'm close. I don't have a BlackBerry. You know what thrashing is and believe it's inherently evil. That's funny. You know what ASP, HASP, and JES are, but can't remember your kids' names. Well, I know what my kids' names are, and I know what those terms mean. You love geometry and hated the prom. I liked the prom and hated geometry. You can't remember phone numbers, but you remember IP addresses. That's true. I do remember IP addresses, and I don't remember many phone numbers. Very, very funny. So anyway, he's got the list of what qualifies you as a geek, at least in the NASA terms. So, pretty cool stuff. All right. Moving on here. Have you guys been, you know, that Mars Odyssey is taking, continuing to take pictures of Mars, and you know, I haven't really paid attention to it. And every once in a while, something is brought to the forefront that shows a cool image, but there's a daily, pictures posted, and I have a link up to the source article on this. And if you're looking to, you know, just kind of browse those pictures from time to time, I'll have that available for you. All right, Mac users, VLC 2.0 is available, and a new major version has been released of the popular media player. So this is big news here, and it's completely reworked for the Mac and web interfaces, and improvements in other interfaces make the VLC easier to use than ever. Makes it easier to use than ever. So VLC has been released to 2.0. And this came from, what is this guy's name? I forget his name. Anyways, at weblogs.mozillazine.org. Asa Dulcers, who's the one that posted this up. Apple is basically getting ready to put in a solar system that will be the biggest in the United States. One of their data centers in Maiden, North Carolina, has a huge roof, and it's going to serve the home of the largest and end-user-owned solar array in the United States, covering 100 acres. It's going to produce 42 million kilowatts of power each year. The 20-megawatt installation is only the beginning. They're going to add a 5-megawatt fuel cell facility will soon be going up as well. So Apple is big into green, and wait to see the details on this. Now, sadly, the source article on this is a PDF. So I have the source website. If you want to read what they're doing on the green side and what their plans are, I'll have the link. You'll find that link on the webpage itself to load the PDF. If you've got a Sony Google TV, they've rooted it. So now you can get root access. It's called GTV Hacker. This tool brings the basically allows you to do root on a Google TV, and you can load up a its own loader. And this is pretty cool because what they've done with this is they've updated the kernel to include a modified Flash plugin that will let users stream all the Hulu and other network TV content that has otherwise been denied. And the Google TV, also there's been some tweaks to NTFS formatted drives. It disables automatic updates. So if you've got a Sony Google TV and you haven't been using it a while, this may be an opportunity for you to go out and play around with it. Have you heard about this DNA and a USB stick? Well, a $900 USB device is about to go on sale. And basically, scientists can use this to sequence viruses and what else did they say here? Viruses and bacteria. So a pretty cool little product for scientists in the field. Not going to be able to sequence your entire DNA of the human body, but this nano project is called MinION, and it's about only $900, and scientists are just absolutely went crazy over this thing. How many of you on the iPad have downloaded and used Temple Run? I will admit I loaded Temple Run. Apparently, Temple Run is not available for the Android, and the developer's not quite ready for it yet. But this is it's a very addicting game, and I was messing with it the other day for a little while, and it's one of those things where you're not careful, you can burn an hour or two. Have you ever tried to get a refund in the Apple Store? Well, there is a way to get a refund. It's not easy, but it is possible. And I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check it out. But the official refund policy is that all sales are final, but there is a way to get a refund if you find something buggy. And I'll have the link up on that. All right. Now, when I was traveling a lot in the Navy, of course, I'm retired now, for those of you that are new to the show. One thing is you would always end up in a room where there was, sometimes you had to, you know, you would bunk with two or three other people. You'd all have your own beds, but you'd be in a barracks room or you'd be in a tent or depending on where it was. And we went to great lengths to basically have privacy curtains and basically you just have your own little world. You wouldn't have to, you know, so basically it's one of those situations where, you know, you try to make the best and have as much privacy as possible. But this is a cool product and wait till you see this. Anyone that's got a kid going to college. Now, some fathers probably won't want their daughters to have one of these. It's called it's a privacy pop-up. And this is awesome. It attaches to the bed. And basically, it's a tent that goes around your bed. And, you know, if you want some privacy, you can have it. And it's $99. It's portable. It fits on twin and twin XL beds. It's easy to carry around when not deployed. And I don't know why you would do that. But I think this is awesome. And you know, obviously it's only made of nylon. So if someone's, how should I say it? It's not soundproof. But at least you can have a little privacy. Anyway, I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Okay, last couple of here. You know, land is always an issue here in Hawaii. We never have enough space for anything. But I found a new car dock that is absolutely perfect. It's basically you park your car and it's on an elevator and it drops your car down into a recessed pit. And of course, one that's waterproof and everything else, but you regain land space. This thing is awesome. Now, it's very expensive, $61,000. So it's not something that obviously you're going to run out and buy. But if you have too much money on your hands and you want to make some more room, this thing is really cool. It really, really is. And allow you to park two cars on it if you need as well. But you've seen these in parking garages and so forth. But this is the first time I've ever seen one for a home. All right, last article tonight, and you guys are going to laugh. How many of you like to sing a little karaoke, right? Well, I'm not the best one to take to a karaoke parlor and sing, because it would be, you'd have to have a lot of beers in me, and you'd probably want to have a lot of beers in order to not hear how I sing. But there's a noiseless USB karaoke mic for the iDevice. And when I saw this, I was like, only in Japan. It's $93. You can get it shipped to you for $20. You stick the microphone in, and essentially you put this thing over your face and you sing into it, and it's supposed to be noiseless karaoke. I saw this. I'm like, only the Japanese would think up this. I show it to my wife, and she's just like, who's going to buy that? Who's going to buy that? She just shook her head. Anyway, that's it for content tonight. I do have an audio. Someone called into the hotline. And of course, you can contact the show real easily by reaching out to me on Twitter, at Geek News, or you can reach me at geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. I haven't previewed this, so I hope this is family safe. Here we go.
Hey, Todd, this is Richard from Columbus, Georgia, calling in regards to show 742.
Yeah.
In your discussion about Apple's Gatekeeper. Gatekeeper has three different settings. One setting allows apps from the App Store only. One setting allows apps from the App Store and sign programs that developers assign. And one setting allows you to download programs from anywhere. So it's defaulted to the App Store and sign programs. That's the default setting. So if you want to download programs from anywhere else, all you have to do is change it to the third setting that allows programs from anywhere. Nobody's locking anybody in on anything. They're trying to make it a little bit safer, and they've set the default setting App Store and sign programs only. But you can easily change that and download any programs you want from anywhere else. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for the call on that. You know, but I think the thing that everyone's concerned about.
Hey, Todd, this is Richard from Columbus, Georgia, calling in regards to show 7.4.
Okay, if I don't have that on loop. I think the thing that everyone's concerned about is that, is your average Mac user going to react to a warning from Apple that this may not be? The warning that pops up is what was ridiculous. You know, there was this big warning box that popped up. It was actually telling people to delete the program from their computer. That's the thing that everyone was kind of upset about, because all of a sudden Apple's telling you this program is not safe. It came from online. I think that's the bigger concern, was the messaging and the pop-up. And sure, you've got multiple settings, but you know, how many average Mac users are going to know that they need to change that setting? Up to this point, Macs have been, you know, largely plug and play. You haven't had to go in and make security setting changes. So I think that's what worries people. I don't know. Maybe I'm off track on this one. But developers are definitely worried about how this is going to impact them making sales and selling software. And again, it's one of those silo events that Apple's trying to do, that in my opinion. But we'll see how the final implementation of this is. Hey, I did get an email from Alan, one of our writers here at GNC, and he had basically linked to this 30,000-year-old seed article as well. I want to thank you from that, Alan. I do appreciate it. Got an email here from Trucker Tom, and Tom basically says here, hey, Todd, FBI could shut off internet for thousands on March 8th to eradicate virus. We've talked about this before. This was an article over on the Blaze. And apparently what happened was here is that the Federal Bureau of Investigation is trying to get rid of an extremely malicious computer virus. Krebs on Security reports that the malware, DNS Changer Trojan, infected more than 4 million computers in 100 countries thanks to the work of six men arrested in Estonia in 2011. The FBI had seized the site. They've been running the DNS server up to this point. So 500,000 computers were reportedly infected, with a security firm finding at least one infection in half of the Fortune 500 companies. So there's some work in removing this malware, but it appears that the FBI is getting ready to shut down that DNS server on March 8th, and people who just find their machines couldn't get on the net. So we'll see what happens with this. But up to this point, the FBI has been nice in keeping those sites up and running, Tom. So we'll see how big the impact is. Hopefully everyone's gotten cleaned up, and you would think that they would have somehow made those owners aware of what the issue was. Okay, let's see here. Got an email here from Richard. He says, "Hey, Todd, this peer-to-peer and sharing account numbers and things like that I think is exciting because us as a people that don't have much right now in this weak economy to be able to enjoy what the rich are enjoying without having to break our pockets. I'm all for it. I just got started on the BitTorrent stuff and I'm loving it. You have much, much faster download speeds in the end, the same media that you would pay hundreds of dollars for. And for what I'm finding out, there's not as many viruses out there as people would think in BitTorrent. I don't know. That's my two cents. Love the show, Richard." You know, Richard, I'm a proponent of paying for what we use for. I think the challenge is where when there is something not available, when you try to buy something legitimately and it's not available or it's so cost prohibitive, that's when people, you know, and I understand the economy's tough right now. But at the same point, you know, it's tough. And I understand when people's budgets are tight, they got to stay entertained. But people want to use peer-to-peer to grab stuff off the internet. I really think personally the reason people do a lot of peer-to-peer stuff is not necessarily economic reasons, but because they don't have access to it otherwise. They can't get a digital copy legitimately. So I might be wrong on that, but at least my two cents worth. Got an email here from Bruce. Let's see here. Yeah, we talked about this already. So anyway, that's it for tonight, folks. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Of course, the voicemail hotline again is 619-342-7365. You can reach me at Twitter on Geek News. Of course, I'm on Google Plus. I'm on Facebook. We have a page on Facebook. We want you to take care of our sponsors and get that free trial of Go to My PC. Give it a try. See how you like it. Again, it's a free trial. Help the show out here. And, of course, pick up your GoDaddy products. Use our promo code. Share them with your friends, family members, people that you know. Pass those GoDaddy codes around. And it really helps me keep the lights on and keep things running here. Again, Mosey, the last ad was on a previous show. We want to thank Mosey for having been a sponsor here before already. But other than that, everyone take care. We'll see you back here on Thursday. And definitely check out the National Innovation Alliance on Facebook. Let me know what you think. Add to the commentary. Add to the discussion. Let's get involved. Let's keep the government out of tech and keep us innovating and moving forward as a country. And allowing, you know, building the economy the way entrepreneurs can do so if we're not heavily regulated by the feds, so or even the states. But again, my name is Todd Cochran here at Geek News Central, geeknewscentral.com. I appreciate you for hanging out with me. We'll see you again on Thursday night for the live show, Friday for the release of the podcast. Everyone take care. We see you next time, and aloha.